Hello and welcome back to Overtime Hockey Talk. It's been so long, I almost forgot the name.
Seriously.
Let's say the last show that we released was right before Christmas. So we've had a good little break here.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well needed.
That's fine. I mean, as soon as we're making $1,000 an episode, we won't take breaks anymore.
This is true.
But, you know, for now.
$50 an episode.
Hey, that'd be fine. Yeah, that'd be fine. Obviously a lot of things have happened. There was a little bit of a break in hockey play for a little while, but that was supplemented by some World Junior action, and obviously it's been a great tournament. Have you had a chance to watch any of the games?
Watched a couple,
yeah.
A little disappointed U.S. didn't make the gold medal game, but
you know, I actually was too. Yeah. I was rooting for Wall, their goalie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Leafs prospect, so
that figures.
Vested interest. Yeah. They were talking about how if he were to do well, he could possibly be considered for the U.S. Olympic team.
Oh, really?
Which I think is still a possibility, but we shall see about that. What's recent? Glenn Gulletson throws a couch into the crowd. No, it wasn't a couch. It was a stick. But, yes, Calgary Flames coach decided that his team just wasn't practicing hard enough. I guess this is something out of 1981, just whipped his stick into the crowd, and it was obviously caught on tape. And what do you think a guy like Jágr looking at? I know that Jágr's actually out, so he wasn't actually on the ice. But what's a guy like Jágr thinking when he goes, this is really, okay, well, you've got, this is your last leg? It's like, is this a point? Do you lose your players when you do something like?
I don't know if you lose them exactly, but I think the respect ladder, you go down a few pegs.
Yeah,
few steps.
Unless it just click. Maybe he's thinking, all right, I got younger guys. I just need to light a fire under them.
Yeah, it's different. Like I for example, like when we were playing in our 30 house league, I got pissed off and threw my stick, and it sparked a little fire in Mark Paul over here. And
that's true. It
ripped
did.
It, but.
It did.
But this is the pros. This is the NHL. Like when you do stuff like that, I think you kind of lose respect with guys a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. If you're maybe you're more of a player's coach, and which I think Gulletson is a little more.
Lets
his guys go, gives them a pretty long leash, and so I think maybe a coach who is giving players a longer leash, and then he gets pissed. Where like you actually like him, he's not one of those coaches where. You know, like a Ken Hitchcock, where you're always wondering if he hates you, your family, your dog, and everything associated with your last name. I think that maybe it can work because players do like you, and they're like, ah, shoot, we maybe went a little too far. Like, our leash was gone too far, and now we're going to have to be reeled back in. But we actually like this guy, so I think that's possible. It all depends, I think, really on how... if you guys like you, and how often something like this happens when the cameras aren't on.
That's true.
Like, at some point, a coach doing that, you're just going, the hell? Like, what's your problem? You're going to get fired. Like, really, you do that too. If he does that again, like, he's on the chopping block probably.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're sitting with 44 points right now, which if they were in the Central, they would be dead last. So...
I mean, 3 points out of the playoffs is fine. You know,
still okay.
They're obviously in it. 4-4-2 in their last 10. They have won their last two, which is it's weird. They've won their last two games, and now their coach decides to throw a hissy fit.
Well,
we've won two games. Damn it! I don't understand that. Coaches are weird. But maybe he's feeling the pressure. You don't know what's being said to him. Like, dude,
got a call from ownership.
This is, if you don't make the playoffs, you're gonna be fired. So figure your crap out and let's go.
Maybe he just stubbed his toe on the way to the locker room or something.
Maybe he didn't get that, the new toy for Christmas or something.
That's
he's
true.
Pissed about it.
Yeah. I bet he wanted a Polaroid camera.
A Polaroid camera, yes.
Which apparently was the hot item. I had to buy, I bought my, well, I didn't, I shouldn't say I had to. I ended up buying my girlfriend one of those because everywhere I read, like, that was the new it thing for people in their 20s and my age. So,
and my age, people in their 20s and my age.
I say that because I'm not in my 20s.
20s, 30s, 40s.
Yeah, keep going.
I know you're not. Keep going. Polaroid cameras are in. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's too bad somebody didn't have a Polaroid camera down at Calgary Flames practice. Could have gotten a couple cool perma shots. A
couple snaps for the wall.
Snaps. Not to be confused with Snapchat. But yeah, so it's the way that everything has been shaking out. Things other than Edmonton, where they're at, I think it's fair to say that Edmonton and Vegas, they basically switch spots.
Yeah.
And then there's really nothing. Like, if Edmonton and Vegas move positions, you got Edmonton top of the Pacific, Vegas towards the bottom of the league, everybody else where they're slotted, I think you'd go, yeah, that's about how I had things slotted. I mean, maybe LA is a little higher, but I don't think that it's a big shock that LA is in the playoff picture.
No,
Doesn't surprise me that Chicago's on the outside looking in, although they have a couple games in hand on Minnesota. And Minnesota has definitely clawed their way back.
Zach Parise comes back. They win two in a row now.
Yep. So it's I think Minnesota will probably be one of the better teams in the second half. That would be my just Bruce Boudreau is just so good in the regular season.
What, his last five seasons, he's either finished first or second in the division. So
yeah. I mean, which will not happen this year.
No,
but I think. I mean, yes, Anaheim's getting healthy. Getzlaff looks great.
He does.
It looks fantastic. And so it looks like probably Anaheim will claw their way back in there. And San Jose, really, if you look at it, San Jose, although they have played four less games than Anaheim, they are just as close to missing the playoffs as anybody else, which is crazy.
Yeah, they just got to score a few more goals.
Yeah.
They're keeping the puck out, but they just can't score.
So, Brent Burns, first 100 shots, he had one goal.
Yeah.
Next 50, he has five.
We knew that was coming. Let's be honest.
So, he's shooting 10%, and he's shooting 1%.
Yes.
And so, you're shooting about 5% now. And that is still under average for him, but it at least is like, okay, that's not it's not insane. Whereas the 1% was like, when he had 100 shots or 85 shots and still didn't have a goal, it was like, what the heck's going on here? But yeah, he still looked really good though. Even all throughout that, he's looked good. Leafs played the Sharks in a shootout, a 3-2 shootout. And yeah, the Sharks still look like the Sharks. I mean, Thornton's still good. there really is the Sharks. You can't ever underestimate them. They're one of those teams where, you know, Martin Jones can steal you a game, and if you aren't paying attention, they'll score. They'll put a 5-6 spot up on you. But for whatever reason, the goals aren't coming the same way that they maybe have in the past.
No, and I'm still saying it. Evander Kane is going to end up in the Sharks.
Okay. All right. I like it. Speaking of trades, there was a reasonable trade.
Biggest trade of the year.
Biggest trade of the year.
I'm picking him up in fantasy hockey now.
What? Tell us the trade.
Yeah. Well,
Gary. There's been a trade.
Al Montoya is headed to Edmonton. He's going to back up Cam Talbot,
which is good news for Edmonton since their backup position was pretty weak.
Yeah, but Cam's been all right since coming back from his last injury, and
yeah.
But I mean, if anything, it just solidifies, you know, that backup role. So if you know, they want to give him a little bit of rest. They don't have to play him every single game for the rest of the season to maybe try to get in the playoffs,
right.
I'm sure they're trying to do.
41 games left. They're right at the second half of their season now.
Yeah.
With that said, how many games does Al Montoya play, first off? How many games?
Seven.
Seven games?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be fair. So they give a fourth-round pick for seven games. Interesting. Yeah. And how many? Okay, so if what needs to happen for the Oilers to make the playoffs at this point? They're eight points out. So 8 points behind Minnesota.
First off, they need teams to lose in their division.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just plain and simple. Because I don't think they have enough to just start winning like the Flyers did, for example, where they lost a whole bunch and then they came back and won like 10 in a row or something like that.
Right, right.
I don't think outside of Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, they have what it takes to do that. So with that said, they're going to need teams in their division to lose.
So, I mean, okay, so Minnesota's 5-5 in their last 10. Edmonton's 5-4-1 in their last 10. So in a 10-game stretch, they gained 1 point on Minnesota.
Yeah, and they're going to have to go 8-2 at least, probably.
Right, right. And they haven't had a stretch like that yet. And you have to think that at some point it's coming. The problem is that a lot of times teams that fall way behind, you know, you see them in February or March, and they end up going 9-1 or something outrageous, and you're like, I thought they were terrible. And they still are terrible. They're just playing so loose because they don't care.
Right.
And they're maybe getting a little bit lucky and fortunate and whatever. Whereas a team like Edmonton, I don't see come March this team being looser. Like, no. Oh, we missed the playoffs. No, okay, now we can play relaxed. No, there's just going to be pressure. Like, oh, can they mount the comeback? And I just chances it happens.
Yeah, and I think too, you're going to see a lot of pressure of who's gone after this season, who's leaving town, and. Because they need to make some drastic changes there. There's no doubt. They're too slow of a team. And they have a couple decent pieces that they can still pawn off, like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And,
right, right. But Nugent-Hopkins is one of the bright spots.
Well, he is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, let's just face it. They don't have a ton of pieces
to
deal.
They don't have a lot
to
move. Yeah, you know. Because a guy like maybe a Lucic is going to probably cost you more to get him out than it is to actually bring him back.
They're going to have to keep a lot of that salary. That's for sure.
Yep. Well, what else is going on over the break? We want to talk a little bit of World Juniors here for just a minute. We'll give a little. Obviously, the U.S. and the Czech Republic are playing as we speak.
As we speak, so Friday night, yeah,
yeah. They're up 7-0. I think the last we looked, the U.S. over the Czech Republic. So that one is in the bag. I think safe to say, unless of course the Czech Republic figures out how to score a touchdown and kick the extra point. Game should be over. Canada-Sweden in the final.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed because I was, as much as I was rooting for the U.S., I was more or less rooting for a rematch of that final last year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I thought that would just be so much fun to watch.
I think that there's a good amount of players who have held over and were here last year that were there. Or they were there last year that are here this year that would have made that game interesting. But it was funny on Twitter. I was noticing that a lot of people were saying, oh, thank goodness Sweden beat the U.S. for us. Now we can go in and destroy Sweden. And I'm thinking, is maybe the worst possible thing for Canada that they didn't get the U.S. and then they have to play Sweden?
Yeah, and they're in Buffalo too, so you think.
Yeah,
it would have
been pretty fun.
Yeah,
but I do think that with Canada's defense, I think Canada has 7 legitimate defensemen.
Oh my goodness!
Led the way by Mete, so that was quite nice of the Canadians to lend him to the World Junior team. I think that their defense is just going to be too much for them, and ultimately Canada will win the gold.
Yeah. Sorry to say, but they're going to
Canada hasn't won the gold, actually, in 5 years or something like that.
Has it been that long?
It's been a while. The Americans and the Russians and all they've won the last few years. But World Juniors are just, they're fun to watch because it's almost, you know, you hear a lot between the NFL and college football. You know, people, the people that love the NFL because it's great, like the players and the talent level so high. The people that love college football more than the pros, they love it usually because these players are, you know, they're playing for the love of the game and blah blah blah, which of course some of them are playing for a future in the NFL, but it's true, a lot of them are playing because they love football and sure it's paying for their school, but they're going to go on to do other things. And so you kind of get this a different kind of vibe in college football, and also because the players aren't as talented, they make more mistakes. Yeah. So it's a little more fun to watch because the scoring can be higher or the gameplay can be a little bit different. Whenever there's mistakes, that's where interesting things happen. And when you're watching, for example, like pro hockey, the only time there's goals is usually when a guy makes a mistake. And some games, there's 2 mistakes the whole game. And so it's a little less exciting. Whereas you get into junior hockey and, there's a few more mistakes. So you do get a more chances, more opportunities to score, and it can make it a little more interesting. And yeah, you know, hey, they're kids playing. So
yeah. And I'll tell you what, I'm kind of excited through this whole tournament to watch Carter Hart play. I keep hearing all these rumblings of he's got Carey Price-esque qualities that he could possibly be the next, you know, big name goaltender. And I get it, structurally he's very, very good, but I was just interested to watch him, see how he did,
okay,
how he would do. And again, same Joseph Wall, loved watching him play a little bit. So
yeah.
And then the Swedes too, they got another phenomenal goaltender in there who beat the U.S. obviously. So
it should probably be a lower scoring championship game, which it almost always seems to be.
Yeah, outside of many of the goaltenders, maybe like Brady Tkachuk, not a whole lot of big name players
in the
tournament this year either. Yeah. So
a little less fanfare. So yeah. I mean, there's no Connor McDavid, no Jack Eichel, no Nico Hischier, but I mean, they're still a good, obviously Sweden has Rasmus Dahlin, but
oh yeah.
No slouch.
Still my number one overall.
I think it's more that because there isn't a North American player who's like a number one draft pick in this for either team, that it's maybe seems a little less star power than in the past. And since it's a guy in Sweden, obviously they're just not covered as often.
Yeah.
It's difficult to watch their games. But anyways, we'll jump off the World Junior. My prediction, Canada wins 3-2.
3-2. Okay, I'll go with that.
You want to talk a little bit about your Red Wings? 5-3-2. We've won three in a row, right?
They won't die. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, they haven't gone away. They're 7 points out of a playoff spot. They've got a game in hand on Carolina, who has really clawed their way back. I'm very pleased that Carolina's been able to come back, especially since I ranked them in my top 10 teams. You know, sometimes you gotta take chances on a team, and they have but actually
the Islanders produced. And Penguins out of the playoffs right now. Like,
yeah,
those are two teams that I feel are gonna make the biggest splash at the deadline out of most of these playoff teams, just because one, Islanders want to make a splash so they can try to again convince Tavares to hang around, which I don't think he will. But anyways,
you don't think he's gonna hang around even after the arena?
No. I don't.
It's sealed.
I think he's gone.
Really?
I really think he's gone.
For what? What is your thought process behind the reason that he's gone? Like now?
Okay.
Were you as certain now as you were a month ago that he'd be gone?
Yeah.
So and
even, my feelings have not changed.
Okay.
At all about this, but for me, you look at him. If he was 100% certain the Islanders were where he wanted to end his career, he would have signed by now. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, he wanted to hang around, and there was all those that talk about him wanting to wait out management, see what they were going to do with the arena situation, all that sort of, you know, noise around him. They figured that out, but yet we still haven't really heard anything about it. And now the rumor is that he wants to go try out free agency, see what kind of interest he draws. Almost like I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, where Brad Richards basically like locked himself in a room and had teams come to him. I see the same thing happening with him in this situation. And he's going to go out there. He's going to get a taste of that free agency. Teams are going to woo him. And he's just going to be like, you know what? I don't think the Islanders are going to really get that much better over the next few years. And his window is getting smaller and smaller because, I mean, he's not old, but he's not young anymore. He's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because maybe 10 years ago, a 32-year-old free agent was still considered like, oh, he's just, you know, he's kind of almost still in his prime.
Right.
Like, he's right on the cusp. You were considered in your prime when you were like 29.
Yeah.
30. And so, like, you know, you could still be good 31, 33. So, and it's funny now, everybody talking about Ovechkin. Saying, oh, he's 32 and he's having a resurgence. Right. He's finding his youth again at 32. And it's just funny to see 32 being the like, oh, nobody ever expected anybody to be able to do this at 32. And I mean, it just seems like, well, let's see. Gretzky's rookie year was 79-80. So he would have been 32 in 1983 when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
1993?
Right, I think.
You said 83.
Oh, did I? Yeah, 93. I'm sorry. Yeah, 93. So yeah, he would have been about 32 years old.
Yeah.
And he was still rocking.
Yeah.
He was still scoring over 100 points.
Not slow down.
Now he slowed down a couple years after. I mean, once you're 35, to me, there's 32 is the, like, all right, you're a middle of the road player.
Mm-hmm.
Probably by the time you're 31, 32, you're going to become a bottom six guy and then slowly fade off.
Sure.
A superstar, I think usually they have until they're about 35, and then they can drop to the second, the third line. And then obviously if a guy's like Daniel and Henrik Sedin, who are, they're what, 39?
Yeah.
I mean, they shouldn't be able to play at a first line level at 39. No. Unless they were to drastically change the way they play.
Right.
Like, I think that Jágr adjusted the way that he played. And he's much more charismatic.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're able to make some other... And a teacher. I don't know how much the Sedins are more cerebral, maybe, to where they played so well together that was really their niche, was the fact that they knew where each other were all the time. But now, maybe A, they're too slow to get to those spots, and B, they aren't the same kind of teachers. Maybe that Jágr was. This is me just spewing because I don't really know. I'm
thinking out loud.
Obviously, not sitting in the Vancouver Canucks locker room, finding out if they're trained. But I have never heard anybody heard of things saying, you know, hey, oh, Henrik Sedin takes these guys under his wing and, you know, takes them over to his house and treats them like that.
Right.
Like Marlow does with Matthews and Marner, right?
Right.
Got them over for Thanksgiving, and it's a picture with Marlow, his kids, and those two. And there, it's like, oh, here's Marlow's kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Zetterberg does the same thing. Last year, taking Larkin under his wing and so forth.
And you don't really hear about that with the Sedins, which is fine. Not everybody is that kind of person. But it just, maybe their relevance disappears because of that, because they're not going to last into their 40s because of that. I got to think that they're one more year and they'll be done. They're free agents at the end of next year, right? So
no, this year.
This year.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just retire.
I mean, yeah. You think so?
Do you think that one of them would retire and the other one would Henrik would retire and Daniel would stay? Because Daniel's a little better.
No, I think they both go out together.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, if one of them is really pushing to come back, the other one would be like, well, fine, whatever. I'll do it.
I don't really know how to do life without you.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
it's a literal bromance.
It really is.
It's as bromance as it gets. And I in the least incest-y way possible.
Yeah. And the big debate's gonna be whether or not they stay in Vancouver or go somewhere else. But
Right. Could they succeed and go somewhere else, sign two 1-mil, 1-year deals somewhere and just take over a third line somewhere, and that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Be interesting. They're not good in the power play. they're not good at the penalty kill. And they're so 5-on-5. They're like Shane Doan to me. Why would you sign them?
Roll the dice.
You might give them one shot. Like, you could see, okay, Thornton is gonna re-sign in San Jose and they scoop those guys and bring them into San Jose or something. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So anyways, back to the original point.
Tavares. It was an original point. Oh, yeah. Tavares.
My goodness, where did we go? So again, don't think he's staying there. You're going to see the Islanders, Pittsburgh, really making plays. And I was actually, you know what, when I was driving over here, I was listening to Bill Waters on NHL radio, and I love listening to that guy.
Yeah, former Leafs GM.
Assistant GM. Yeah. Phenomenal guy to listen to on the radio. But he was talking about, when I turned on the car, he immediately was talking about Pittsburgh and Sidney Crosby, Malkin, Letang, still great players, but just not playing at their superstar levels. And all of a sudden, it just exposes how much they really miss those 3 and 4 centers, how much the rest of the defense is just really not where it is. And of course, now they don't have any backup goaltending. So
I mean, really, it's Ron Hainsey. Right?
Yeah.
They lost Ron Hainsey. Ron Hainsey. All went away.
Just like Ottawa now, too. Really, Mark Mathot, do you really think he's made that much of a difference? Where Erik Karlsson does not look Erik Karlsson-esque.
Yeah, but I think that's more because of that surgery that he had, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but... And then the team in general just looks like garbage, but...
Yeah, they did say... Apparently there was a... it was released that they did have the GM of Ottawa. They had an offer. Bruce Garriac, is that his name?
I can't remember.
No, he's a reporter.
Close.
that there was an offer for a pick and a prospect for Mark Stone in Ottawa.
Wow.
And they said that they are not looking to go in that direction. They wanted a player back. Huh. They're like 4-14-1 since getting back getting Duchesne.
Yeah. I don't really think Duchesne's been the problem, but he hasn't.
Yeah, but the whole point of that trade was that it was bringing in a better player than Turris. Right, and that's the
thing. Like,
yeah.
He hasn't made them that much better for what they gave up. And
he obviously hasn't made them better at all. They're worse.
No, and that's a clear situation of a guy that either A, just needs a lot of time to get into that system and work it properly, or just doesn't fit in that system for the type of player he is.
Right.
So do you make – and, let Ottawa ownership and their general manager there wanted Duchesne, and they've wanted him for a couple of years now. So, maybe this season do they say, well, yeah, if the system doesn't fit Duchesne, let's get rid of the system.
Yeah.
And Guy Boucher's out of there.
Yeah. Or do they have Guy Boucher adjust his system? I don't know if that's –
yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Coach adjusting his system is even tougher than a player trying to adjust.
See, I don't know if I think there's been enough coaches who you can go – okay, he used to – like, this is a little bit older of an example, but Daryl Sutter, the way that mm-hmm. the Calgary Flames played when the Flames went to the finals in 03, 04, against, 03, 04? Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the 03, 04 season against Tampa. And then the way that he kind of reinvented himself and came to L.A., and he was always known as this hard-ass
– still is.
Still yeah. is, but – but softened a little bit for the time, for that era.
Yeah.
He came in, 2010 into L.A.? And yeah. he changed some things about the way that he had been, treating players. He changed some of his system, and to which it obviously worked very well. And they came and won two cups.
They did indeed.
Isn't it so interesting that a guy wins two cups? And his last cup was 2014. 2014, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2014, his last cup was four years ago, and he doesn't have a job.
Yeah. That's
no, he just got fired. No, he might be like, I'm taking a year off. But
very well could be.
It's interesting to me, though, that a guy wins a cup 4 years ago, and he's almost considered irrelevant. Like, oh, well, yeah. He won those cups in a previous era where the game was slow. And it's 4 years, everything changes that much to where a guy can't coach in a quote unquote different era. I don't know about that. I think that he can adjust.
Yeah, but I don't know. So, he'll get some looks next year.
But anyway, either way, what I'm trying to say is that coaches can adjust on the fly. They maybe aren't given the ability to very often. Maybe they're just written off, like, okay, well, this is the system he's running. It's not really working that well, so I don't trust him, so I'm going to fire him. The only way I think that Guy Boucher gets fired this year is if there's a huge change at the top, which there won't be, and so he'll be around another year, I think.
No, I think that's fair, and I don't really see any reason. I mean, if I was Ottawa's ownership group, I would not try to push for change at all. I think... you think about it, last year you were one goal away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
More than anything else, the real big difference is Turris for Duchesne, so maybe you just move a couple pieces. Like, been hearing rumors of, Mike Hoffman getting dealt or, mm-hmm. Stone, whomever. So you find a way to move a couple pieces. And
or can you get rid of Bobby Ryan?
You're going to eat even half if you the eat salary. Half of
it. Even if you eat half of it. Is it worth $3.5 million? $3.5 million, can you bring in a player better than Bobby Ryan?
I don't think you can bring in a player better than Bobby Ryan, but maybe you can bring in somebody different enough to just shake things up.
I'll rephrase, better for your team than Bobby Ryan.
Okay, that would be more fair to say at that point.
So he has 5 goals, 9 assists in 14 games.
Yeah, he's a point every other game player.
So you're talking about he's about a 40 when all is said and done, and he's only played 29 games, so he's actually missed games. Yeah. So he also doesn't he's always kind of had weird little injuries, doesn't play entire seasons.
No, but, whatever. He's a 40-point player. Let's just put it that way.
The last time he played 82 games was 2011-12.
Okay.
Last year he had 25 points in 62 games.
Yeah, but...
But to me, it's like I don't actually have... up here, I can't see how many of these 9 assists are primary assists. to me, it's the goals, because he was supposed to come in here and be the goal scorer. Because, I mean, Mary has four straight 30-goal scores. He was supposed to replace Silverberg, which, what a robbery of a trade that has turned out to be. They traded, what, Silverberg and a first-round pick for Bobby Ryan.
Just insane.
Oops. So out of 5 goals in 29 games, you're talking he's a 12-goal scorer. You know?
Yeah.
He had 13 goals last year. It's basically what he's on pace for, again, in more games. To me, can you find a guy, pay him $3 million, and have him score 15 goals?
Oh, absolutely.
That's easy. It's easy to replace that.
Yeah.
So I think you just get rid of him and use that space. Maybe you just need that space. Just
for Eric Karlsson's new deal.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever it takes. But I would be looking to move him, although I don't know. Even at $3.5 million, would you even want Bobby Ryan?
I mean, if you're another team and you're looking for 40 points, but granted, I don't think you're going to get it over the length of his contract for the next 4 years.
Right.
But,
that's,
you know,
the
maybe
problem.
The next year or two. Yeah. Maybe.
Or do you just roll the dice and hope that there's some sort of buyout option
on the next CBA?
In the CBA, yeah.
Yeah.
Which there always seems to be, you know, two amnesty buyouts or something. And
yeah. But, and it's, speaking of teams with GMs that are going to be on the hot seat, not necessarily Ottawa this year, but Marc Bergevin, I just keep hearing rumblings of that guy is got to do something or he will be gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had a horrible offseason.
Yeah.
And obviously the Canadians have struggled mightily.
Yeah, Drouin has not delivered.
I mean, granted, their last game,
Carey Price
beat
stole
Tampa
that
Bay.
One.
Yes.
That overtime
yes.
save.
Yes.
With Dominik Hasek.
He literally kicked the puck out.
He did.
Kicked the puck down the ice. Get the puck out. It was,
Yeah, I tipped my cap to that.
The best headline I saw was, no one really understands how Carey Price made this save.
No.
Marc Bergevin, I don't see a way that he's here next year.
No, you can't. Unless he does something so drastic where you reshape that team to where they actually somehow make the playoffs, which is not going to happen. But
yeah, and who's going to make a deal with him right now? Like, unless you're going to rob him, you're not going to go, all right, we'll make a deal with you, and, you know, we'll kind of build a rapport with him. Not if you think he's on his way out. You're not going to make those kind of deals.
No, but here's the thing, too. Like, the name I keep hearing more than any popping up right now is Max Pacioretty to be dealt. You're trading your captain and a guy who can put up 30 goals. You better sure as hell get something good in return.
Yes, yes.
And that's the type of trade where if you lose out, you lose your job. If he's not already losing.
And with a $4.5 million cap hit, Max Pacioretty is affordable. I would say across the board to every single team, anyone can afford him as long as they're willing to pay.
Yeah. No team would say no to trying to make a deal with that guy.
How about Connor Sheary for Max Pacioretty?
Connor Sheary. Stop.
I'm trying to wheel and deal here. What do the Islanders give up to get a match, Max Pacioretty?
Well, I can tell you first off that Marc Bergevin's going to throw around Barzal's name in that deal, and that won't happen.
No, that's...
So, maybe Josh Bailey? Maybe you throw Bailey's name in the hat, because I don't think, if the Islanders seriously think they're going to give Tavares the money he wants, they're not going to be able to re-sign Josh Bailey. Mm. And Bailey can play a little center. I don't know if he's better off at center than he is right now at the wing, but hey.
Carolina would be a team. It seems that so many teams have forwards, and not many teams have defensemen. And we all are always talking about, well, Carolina could make this move and acquire this forward.
They
and
could.
They would really balance their team out better. Max Pacioretty would fit in nicely in Carolina. I think the problem is that I don't think Carolina wants to trade any of their defensemen.
Yeah.
They don't want to trade them for older scoring. I think that they would trade it for a younger, like, would they trade Noah Hanifin for Mitch Marner? Yes.
Okay.
But would they trade him for Max Pacioretty? No, because Max Pacioretty is 29.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all talking about Ovechkin being 32 and like finding his youth. So he maybe has 2 years left, 3 years at the most of top line scoring.
Maybe they trade Justin Falk.
Yeah, yeah. I think they like Justin Falk. I think they like what he brings in terms of he actually has some experience.
It's funny. He's the veteran guy at 25 on that
D-line. Right, right, right. I don't know, just because of, you know, contract years and how different players will come up, it would make more sense to me to go, well, we've got a couple 21-year-olds, a 20-year-old, and a 19-year-old, and although they have Pischke and I just had his name in my head, the other Slavin signed for long term, so it seems like they're pretty much set. You keep thinking Carolina's going to trade a defenseman, and they haven't.
No, which is kind of shocking. They got a lot of them.
Yes, they do. Sure. Yes, they do. Other teams that have really blown out is Washington. They've come from being a wild card team to leading this division in a heartbeat, and a lot of it is to do with the fact that New Jersey probably not a legitimate division leader, a legitimate playoff team. For sure. They their new style, new brand of hockey, and Nico Hischier and all these other younger guys who've come along, and they look good. Washington, something feels right having Washington at the top of the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, it feels right when Alex Ovechkin is scoring goals. I mean, it's going to be a sad day in the NHL when he slows down and is only scoring like 15 or 20 at like 37, 38
when
years
Ovechkin's
old.
Only scoring 35 at 38 right. years old. Yeah.
And you know what? It's nice to see these guys be successful, because I think the NHL loves it. I think the fans love it. Me, as just an all-around hockey fan, I love seeing Washington be successful. Ovechkin, Oshie, just the names on that team. Why would you not want to watch that team play hockey? They're fun. So, again, like you said, they're a legit team, and it feels right having them at the top.
Agreed. The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, they've been
losing. They've struggled 3-5-2 in their last 10. But interesting that they are one of only two teams with a negative goal-scoring differential that are in the playoffs. The other team is Carolina, who sits at the bottom of that, and only scored 115 goals. The only other team in the playoffs, aside from the Carolina Hurricanes, who have played two less games than them, is the San Jose Sharks, who have 104 goals, but again, they played four less games than Columbus. So,
and they're keeping the puck out.
Columbus, right? Yeah, only 98 goals or 96 goals against. So. Even in those four games, if San Jose were to allow four goals a game, they'd still have less goals than Columbus. Columbus really struggling to score goals, but they're still where they are because they have a solid defense.
And
Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with this team? Because right now where we sit, they are 2 points away from the Rangers usurping them and then moving into a wild card spot. For the first time all season, really, and Columbus has been at the top of towards the top of that division all year. Mm-hmm. They've been in the top three. The Rangers have two games in hand. They win a couple games, and they will jump the Blue Jackets. I mean, if Carolina wins these two games in hand, they'll go ahead of the Blue Jackets. So the Blue Jackets are really falling quick. They can't score goals. What's going on in Columbus?
Yeah, that's the problem. They right now are Terry Panarin. Anderson and Werenski are pretty much the only guys that have a legit shot at scoring 20 goals, unless, or at least they're on pace anyways to score over 20 goals, which is weird if you think about it.
The best part is that they lost William Karlsson, who they were playing 5 or 6 minutes a game last year, and went, hey, we'll pay you a draft pick to take Karlsson and not, it was Josh Anderson.
Yeah.
And Josh Anderson looks fine, but
yeah.
William Karlsson is just top-line center, one of the top teams in the NHL, and he's
just like
he's Florida, 20 goals.
Florida giving up a 30-goal score in Marchessault.
Yeah.
I mean, stop.
Yeah, but what in the world?
I don't know how you justify that one.
That one was weird.
Yeah.
And then Riley Smith, of course, going too, who's a 20-goal scorer. So.
Yeah.
Vegas looks very – they're
smart. They look smart.
It's weird. Do they really, should they be this good? Not should they, in the sense that, like, do they have, are they actually, because they're actually this good? I mean, we're 41 games into the season. They're actually this good.
Yeah.
This is how good they are. They're good. Gerard Gallant is the coach of the year. Should they be this good from a perspective of a five-year window?
No.
Is this going to help them win the cup?
No.
No, it's going to help them. Now, unless they can be as delicious in the entry draft as they were in the expansion draft, just poaching guys who you wouldn't think would be and end up being really good.
Yeah.
And there's always that chance. But, man, it just seems like this is not necessarily, well, it's good for maybe publicity, get some seats in the, you know, butts in the seats and fans excited. Our team's actually good. But 3 years from now, are we going to look back and go, if only they had sucked, only they had been bad.
I think so.
Then we might actually have a good future. But now this season is going to ruin that future.
Don't get me wrong. I think they're a good team, but I think they're just going to level out. They're going to be mediocre, above average maybe next year, because they're going to lose a lot of guys.
Yeah, but who are they really going to lose?
Well, James Neal.
Yeah, but is James Neal just going to resign there?
James
Neal's 32 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, but if you get a power forward who can still skate a little bit and put 30 goals up.
So maybe they're going to they have money. They're going to have to resign somebody. And if they're this good and James Neal goes, yeah, I'm bought in, I'm staying.
Well, I mean, why would you want to hang out in Vegas? I mean, that would be fun, I think.
Right. David Perron, he's playing on their top line. I feel like they like him. So you resign him, even for a 2-year deal.
Yeah, but more than anything else, I think they're just playing without pressure right now. And they have been all year.
But they're not going to have any pressure ever.
Well, next year.
Nobody gets flying hockey there.
Well, okay. They sold out 15,000 season ticket holders in that arena.
Right,
so
right.
I think while they don't have the same type of rabid hockey fans like you do in Toronto or New York or anything like that, there's still going to be the pressure for them to like Edmonton. When they came out, they're like, oh, Edmonton.
Yeah, but Edmonton, you're talking about a hockey. There's literally hockey. That's it.
Well, no. I get that. But you get into a place where it's like, oh, we actually have a legit team here. We have a team that can compete.
Oh, we're good. And then if you start not winning, then people are all over you.
Well, I think regardless if they're winning or not, people are still going to show up and have fun there. But because it is Vegas. But if they're winning, people are going to start putting maybe a little pressure on them to just, oh, why don't you guys should go further in the playoffs. You should stop losing in the first round or yada, yada, yada. And I think 3 or 4 years out, they're going to be an average team. They won't be terrible because they still have good players there.
Right,
they're going to have Marc-Andre Fleury there. So they'll still be good, but...
They've been doing all this without Marc-Andre Fleury the whole time.
I know, which is kind of crazy, too.
Spectacular. But, yeah, so... Anyways...
Were we talking about Columbus?
We were talking about Columbus, and we went to Vegas. Columbus, do they make the playoffs?
Yeah, they make the playoffs, and they move one of their defensemen. They're like Carolina. They have a field of defensemen growing, and they can afford to lose one or two of those guys. And I think they move somebody. Maybe it's a Ryan Murray and ship him out, and they bring in some talent. You know, maybe a Hoffman or a Stone, bring them in, and they get a little bit more scoring because that's what they need. They need somebody to score. Bobby's going to be great in net. Their defense is good. And
are the goals going to come? Probably. It's interesting, though, looking at this. So we got Washington, New Jersey, Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see any of those teams missing the playoffs.
No.
Tampa, Boston, Toronto. None of those teams are missing the playoffs.
No, they're locked for the three.
Everyone else is
that far below.
Terrible.
And just a little side note. I read the other day that for the first time this season, Brad Marchand, Bert Bergeron, and Pastrnak gave up their first even strength goal against them.
Yeah,
this season.
Yeah, their Corsi's 79.
Ridiculous.
The U.S. won 9-3.
Was it 9-3?
Yeah, 9-3. It's like a low scoring football game. Few field goals. So those teams make the playoffs. Then you've got the Rangers, Carolina, the Islanders, and Pittsburgh, all vying for that wild card spot. And I even include Philadelphia.
Yeah,
Philadelphia,
you could throw them in the
only
mix.
4 points back of Carolina. So which one of those five teams makes the playoffs?
I think Pittsburgh's got to make the playoffs.
They got to make the playoffs, as in, like, it's a disgrace if they don't?
I think,
Or they will make the playoffs because they're just too good to miss.
One, they're too loaded with, I mean, Sidney Crosby, Malkin, and Matt Murray. I think they're too good not to make the playoffs. Two, I think it would be an embarrassment to them being back-to-back cup winners, and then they just miss the playoffs.
Well, we're recording this show on Friday, January 5th, and it's about 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., the Pittsburgh Penguins play the Islanders. So the Islanders win that game, they will be in a playoff position, and will just continue to push the Penguins further down. It's a huge game for the Penguins tonight against the Islanders.
Absolutely. And Tristan Jarry starting too. So interesting. That will be even more. I think that'll be more decisive for them because I think at some point they have to make a move for a backup goaltender.
Don't you think? Couldn't Pittsburgh have given up a fourth round pick to get Al Montoya?
They absolutely could have.
Why?
And they should have.
They should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a lot more to lose than Edmonton at this point. Edmonton is so far out of it.
I still don't know why they don't go after Peter Mrazek, if you ask me.
Yeah, but are the Red Wings just going to give him up for nothing?
Well, no, they're not going to give him up for nothing, but they know they're not going to be re-signing him. He's going to cost them too much money.
I think the cupboards are relatively bare for the Penguins. I think they've been moving out a lot of guys.
Yeah, when you're like the Chicago Blackhawks and you're just giving up picks and talent just to
stay. Yeah, it's going to catch up with you, of course. It is. It's weird. It's hard to picture them missing the playoffs, especially after winning the cup. I mean, that hasn't happened in
since Carolina
in 06, right? So, the Islanders to me, man, there's just so many good teams in this metro, and the Atlantic is so bad. I guess
it is.
I guess we didn't expect the Atlantic to be this bad, and so the metro, every time they're playing the Atlantic, they're just beating them up too.
Yeah.
So they're stealing a lot of points away from there. So Pittsburgh's in. Who else? Yeah. Who's that final wild card spot?
I think honestly, it's got to be the Islanders.
Okay, so the Rangers fall out, Carolina falls out,
yeah,
and the Islanders and Pittsburgh end up pushing their way back in.
Yeah, I think the only way, if the Islanders' goaltending continues to be this bad and they can't stop the puck, yes, the Islanders might actually miss the playoffs. But they're an exciting team to watch for a team that scores that much. You want them in the playoffs. You want to see them get in. You want to see what John Tavares can do. And, you know, again, too, just the whole thing is going to be, is he staying, is he going? But it would just be fun to see him get in the playoffs with the Islanders and maybe have a little success.
Yeah, yeah. Here's my – this is my little bit more wild prediction.
Okay.
What'll happen. Columbus continues to struggle to score goals. And they will fall into a wild card spot and will eventually be eaten up by these teams. They will miss the playoffs. Everyone will be shocked and they'll miss the playoffs. And everyone will blame John Tortorella and say that he's run out of his magic there.
Yeah, and players hate him.
And he'll be fired.
Okay.
And then Carolina is going to end up actually taking that third spot in the division.
Third place.
The third spot in the division. The Pittsburgh Penguins are going to miss the playoffs.
Really?
As the Islanders comes down to the last day, Islanders, Rangers, who will it be? And for the second time in their history, they will be put out by another team. The Islanders will usurp the Rangers into the playoffs. The Rangers miss the playoffs. Penguins miss the playoffs. Carolina gets the third spot.
Wow.
And you've got...
Do you think New Jersey holds on to second place? Or you think maybe they slip a little?
Yeah, no, I think that New Jersey's good enough to hold their way. They can score.
They definitely
can. They're
scoring
goals. And they're, you know, their goaltending's been fine. Their defense has not been nearly as bad as we thought that they would be. And so I think that a guy like Will Butcher only gets better as the year goes along.
Yeah, you would think so.
So yeah, no, that's my don't like put money on that or anything, but
no, that would be interesting though. I mean, it's a real possibility the way the season's been going because it seems like they're just on a slippery slope. Columbus is where just if they just get in a little bit of a tailspin because they can't score goals, that they could easily fall out. And as much as everybody else is scoring goals, the Rangers seem to be finding a way to score goals now, and Carolina is slowly creeping up there. And
Carolina to me is a team that has grown as the years go, has gone along.
Sebastian Aho is a perfect example of that. The way he started out very slow, but he has just sort of grown.
Picked it up. Yeah, and
just like the team has.
As other teams have said, okay, Aho is a guy who can score. We need to shut him down. He's had to kind of play through that a little bit. Yeah. And that happens to a lot of guys. You look at a team like Columbus and you go, where's your goal scoring going
to
come
supposed
from?
Supposed to be Panarin, but he's supposed not doing to be, it.
He,
I mean, yeah. He's got 14 goals. That's okay.
It's fine, yeah. He's becoming a setup man is basically what he's become. If they can get their power play rolling, and And Bobrovsky's going to have to win the Vezina if they're going to make the playoffs.
Seriously. Yeah. I don't know. Who are you giving it to at this point?
The Andre? Vezina? Vasilevsky?
Yeah.
No.
I think out of his last six games, he's got three shutouts or four shutouts. It's insane.
Yeah. I think that he's a product of his team, not the other way around.
That might be
a
little.
His team's not a product of the way he's playing. He's on such a good team. I think you've got to give it to my boy Freddie Anderson.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Give it to Glass. Give it to Glass right now. I'm putting my hands up. Jeff Glass in Chicago. Give him the Vezina. 32 years old.
There you go. Yeah, he
got such his first a great start. Story.
So cool. who would I give the Vezina to? You know,
give it to the whole entire Vegas goaltending trio.
Yeah, there we go. Seriously. That's what I want. You can make an argument for a lot of guys. I mean,
yeah,
Carey Price could miss the playoffs and he could still be in Vezina contention.
Yeah,
but he
Hellebuck. Jake Allen.
Yeah, Bobby. Hellebuck is another one. Yeah, certainly.
Martin Jones.
I think the Vezina, it's gonna go to a playoff team. Unless you're just out of this world. Yeah. You have an amazing stat line and your team doesn't score.
Yeah. I mean that W column counts for a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think that there's something to be said about, you're on the best team, you've never done this before, and now all of a sudden you're a starting goalie on a team that's stacked, and you're doing really well. Now, is he a good goaltender? Yes. Is he top five goaltender? I don't know at this point. I think that we're 41 games in. He's played 35 of them.
No, you can't say a guy is elite after one season. I don't think that's
especially fair. After one half of a season.
Right.
So... Yeah, well, is there anything else that you want to hit on before we end our first show back?
Yeah, do we want to maybe talk about some exciting games this weekend?
Yeah, I'd love to. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, let's rock it out.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I already saw. Well, obviously the game on tonight, Pittsburgh, New York. That's one I'll be watching. Looking forward to seeing that here in a little bit.
All right, let me pull it up here real quick.
Yeah, What are we looking at here? Oh, we need to look at Saturday. So Saturday, I'm probably not watching too many of these Lightning Senators. Not really interested in it. I mean, I'll watch the Leafs game because that's the game I watch.
That's what you do.
Carolina at Boston.
Yeah,
that's probably a solid game to tune into. What I like to do is I'll watch the Leafs game, which I'm just going to, that's going to be on my main screen. Then I got my iPad, I got my computer, and I just log into both of them and just watch games on all three.
Okay.
So I've got the solid screen. You can even use your phone as a fourth.
You very well could.
It's a lot better than the little, the little mosaic that you can do? The 4-in-1 screen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then they're really small. No, I like all four of them being at least... tablet sized,
right?
It'll be. I mean, we haven't even talked about Boston, and Boston has been on a freaking roll.
Seriously.
They're four games in hand on the Leafs, and they're ahead of the Leafs. They're making a push.
Yeah,
they're closing in on Tampa Bay.
They really are.
Dare I say it?
Yeah, and that would actually be a very interesting playoff series between the Leafs and the Bruins. I would enjoy that very much, very much.
Oh, Leafs Bruins, yeah, that would be a good playoff series. I would rather
bring
avoid
back James Reimer, but
I you can't see it right now, but I am loading a gun. it's for James Reimer. He likes to go to the range.
James Reimer, oh man, yeah. But let's see, Sunday we got a load of good games on.
Yeah,
Sunday.
I love when there's a good solid afternoon game. I love once NFL playoffs. start so that there can be hockey games in the afternoon. Yes. Once those get started. They're great. So, yeah, you've got the two 1 p.m. games, which is Sabres, Flyers, who cares? Devils, Islanders, though, Islanders need to win.
Yeah.
Islanders need all the wins they can get, and that's not going to be an easy game. And then, obviously, you've got these three 3 o'clock games. You got a 5 o'clock game, two sevens, a 7:30, and a 9:30. There is no excuse not to be watching hockey on Sunday
all day.
Whether you have kids, doesn't matter. Just put them into their little playpen, and they'll be fine.
I'm gonna tell the girlfriend, I'm sick. I got the black lung. Don't come over.
Yeah, Rangers, Golden Knights. That'll be a good one. And then the Bruins play the Penguins. Hey, that's
another great one.
Some very good games on Sunday, and then of course, team I just talked a lot of crap about, the Blue Jackets take on the Leafs on Monday for the sole game. Ooh. On Monday on NHL Network. So
it's always weird. One
that
game.
Means I have to stream it,
yeah,
from some other source because I don't have NHL Network. It's great.
Yeah, that would be. I would love to see Columbus get tore up in that game.
Same. Yeah. We're on the same page about that.
Good.
But yeah, well, that's as far as we'll go because we'll record on Monday. So
true story.
Happy New Year. If I didn't say that already.
Yeah.
We were actually together for New Year's Eve.
It was enjoyable.
That was a great little party.
Thank you, Drew Stout, for a fun time.
Absolutely. Shout out. We'll be back on Monday. You know, we'll shake off the rust. We'll be back.
Get back in rhythm.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm actually playing some pond hockey tomorrow.
I'm a little upset I can't come.
Why do nephews have to have birthdays?
I don't understand. His birthday was on Thursday, too.
If nobody told him, he wouldn't even know. I know.
If it was like a second birthday, I could miss it. No problem. I could come up with something.
Yeah.
First birthday, it's like...
Always is his first birthday, so he literally doesn't know anything.
No, knows nothing.
You could come late.
Except he eats everything.
You could go late. It'd be fine. It'd be okay.
Yeah, but here's another problem with that.
But it is in South... It's like 40 minutes away.
Yeah. Well, here's another problem, too, is my girlfriend, her aunt, originally wanted to, like, we were having dinner with her aunt afterwards, and she originally wanted to do it at 3 o'clock, and so we had to...
3 o'clock for dinner?
I know. It's insane.
Is it Thanksgiving?
Well, her aunt apparently has a daughter who has, like, a sleep schedule and is, I don't know, let's just put it high maintenance from what I'm getting, but anyway...
Was her daughter go to bed at 4:30?
I don't know.
How old is this daughter?
Well... I actually had a neighbor one time who was training for the Olympic ice skating team and went to bed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day and would get up at like 4 a.m. It was crazy.
Wait, how old is this daughter? Your girlfriend's aunt's daughter?
I have no idea. No clue at all.
But she's not like 12, right?
No. Okay. No, probably
she's
not.
Like a baby or something?
I honestly don't know. I'm meeting this person for the first time.
Okay, I want to hear more about this.
I will tell you all about it.
The need to eat at 3 p.m. Dinner at 3 p.m. Yeah.
Well, anyways, because of the nephew's birthday party, we pushed it back to like 5 o'clock so we can do both. And if I'm skipping out on the nephew's birthday.
Destroyed my child's sleep schedule by forcing him to eat at 5 p.m.
Seriously.
Now he won't go to bed till 7:45. My mom actually used to put me to bed at 7.
Ouch.
And I was so little I didn't know anything.
Right.
And then... Eventually, I was allowed to watch Wheel of Fortune at 7. And once the Jeopardy theme song started, I had to be in bed. And then I'd sneak out of my room and would lay on my stomach and watch next to the couch. My room was right next to the family room. It was like downstairs.
Army somewhere. Crawl.
And so I would just lay next to the couch and watch Jeopardy. And my parents were on the couch.
Oblivious?
You know. Yeah, they didn't know. I'm just glad I didn't see anything I wasn't supposed to. Does anybody get frisky during Jeopardy? I don't know. Alex Trebek isn't exactly the...
Yeah. What is take off your clothes?
Well, yes. Yes. Perfect. On that note, have a great weekend.
Yes.
We'll talk to you very soon.
Absolutely.
Bye.